Thanks very much for spending part of your early Saturday morning with us. Just before the break, we were talking about some of the issues that surround whole life insurance and whether or not I'm a fan of the insurance. For those listeners who weren't tuned in a couple of weeks ago, let me first recap some of the issues that I've already discussed that come to mind when someone is making a decision as to whether or not to purchase a whole life insurance policy. The first thing is that whole life insurance is typically regarded as permanent insurance, but really, people don't often or always need life insurance their whole life. So the very notion that you need insurance over your whole life doesn't seem to make sense. Another issue, quickly, is that they're sold sometimes as tax-deferred or tax-advantaged vehicles, but those tax-deferred dividends are considered by the Internal Revenue Code as being a return of an initial overcharge. And very often, these policies are sold to people as tax-favored plans, as I just mentioned, which then means that some of these people don't necessarily take advantage of more tax-advantaged plans, like their 401ks and their 403bs and IRAs and things that they could be maxing out. Instead, they're investing in this whole life policy. The characterization that whole life insurance is permanent is also false, because you pay so much extra in terms of premium dollars that you end up being self-insured over time. The amount of insurance actually goes down every single year you own the policy. So it's really not permanent insurance. The idea that the fixed premium somehow helps you lock in the cost of the insurance is also not true, because if you look at the insurance company's own figures, you'll find that the cost of the policy rises every single year in most cases. So the premiums tend to far exceed the raw cost of insurance, especially in the early years. Some policies are heralded as participating policies, but then again, to participate in the company's profits to receive those dividends, you will most often have to pay extra premiums. So what happens is you're just giving extra money to the insurance company to invest. So that kind of calls into question what kind of an investment it is. Are you getting your own money back, or is it really an investment? The other major issue is that when you die, you lose your investment account. It becomes part of the policy. Another issue is that any borrowing that is made on that policy, even though it would be at low interest rates, you're essentially borrowing some of the extra money that you put in the policy in the first place. And when you do borrow it, if you die, that loan is deducted from the death benefit, so there's no free lunch there. Additional problems that were not discussed previously. The major problem with whole life insurance, in my view, is that when people are actually looking at the premiums that they're about to pay, they end up not buying as much insurance as what they really need. If you go through and do an analysis to figure out what coverage a person might need to cover his family, it might come up to be a fairly big number, $500,000, let's say. But if a person can only afford to pay a premium on a $100,000 policy, you've just committed the biggest cardinal sin in the insurance world of getting the policy, a smaller policy, for the wrong reasons. You should get the larger policy that you need, because that really is the whole point of it in the first place. If you die with young kids, your spouse is going to need some help getting them finished. So some other issues that I'm going to mention real quickly is that whole life, it's pitched as part investment, part insurance, but the earnings accrue interest at very low interest rates that tend to kind of match short-term interest rates. Well, that creates an investment mismatch. Why, if you're going to be owning an investment for 20 or 30 or 40 years, would you not want to take some additional risk, letting things average out over time and getting extra return? Why have super low rates paid on this policy when you're holding it for 40 years? You could withstand some of the histrionics and undulations of the stock market, as bad as they might be. Over 40 years, historically, things have tended to work out pretty well. Another problem with whole life insurance is that the raw cost of the insurance is based on a mortality table that's in existence at the time the policy is created. The problem is that once you take that policy, That's the mortality table that you get. The reality is that the mortality death rates, the rate of death for any given age group, has tended to decline over time, which means that as people age, the raw cost of the insurance can actually kind of go down, even though they're getting older. So I'll give you a couple of quick examples. A 45-year-old male who did not smoke in 1958 would be dead 3.5 times out of 1,000 people. Okay, in 1980, that declined to 3.3 people per 1,000. So the mortality rate for a 45-year-old non-smoker declined 4% between 1958 and 1980. A smoking male, between 1980 and 2001, same 45-year-old person, experienced a 27% reduction in the mortality rate. That means when the insurance company goes to look at what the raw cost of the insurance is, it would behoove you to have an insurance policy that was not written on a 1958 table, but rather a 1980 table. But then when the 2006 table came out and that was even lower, you'd be better off still by using that. In 1935, the life expectancy of a 65-year-old was 12.5 years. Today, it's 17.5 years. So we see people who come in with whole life insurance policies that are 30 years old, and it's just not doing them any favors whatsoever. So that pretty much wraps up this segment. What I'd like to do is just make a quick note that we are actually looking for an advisor. So if there is a wirehouse broker who would like to make the transition over to the fee-only side of the business where you're not pushing product, I would very much like to hear from you if that person is out there this morning. So anyway, my name is Glenn Wessel. I've been joined by Alice Wessel here and Agnes, of course, running the knobs. And that's all we have time for. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.